content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas, and this is by Bob Polomsky. And we left off at the end of June last time, so we are starting July, the month of July, and we will start with he has an introduction to July 1st, and it says, starts with, after experiencing many brutal hot and dry summers, I finally stopped grieving for my drought-damaged and withered plants. Instead, I look at these losses as learning opportunities. Here's my short list of 7 lessons that I gleaned over several summers. Number 1, select plants that match the conditions in your landscape. Besides meeting a plant's requirements for sunlight, be mindful of dry and wet areas in the landscape. Select plants that will thrive in those conditions. Also, group plants together according to their requirements for water. Divide your landscape into hydro zones, which allow you to water more efficiently. Plants in the low water use zone receive less frequent, if any, water than those in the high water use zone. 2, install a drip or micro sprinkler irrigation system. They are simple to install and use less water than conventional irrigation systems. 3, mulch. A 2 to 4 inch layer of mulch conserves moisture, suppresses weeds, and enhances plant growth. 4, avoid heavy applications of fertilizer to your plantings. Heavy applications of fertilizer will result in a lot of soft, lush top growth that will have to be supported by regular applications of water. Keep your plants lean, green, and mean to help them deal with summertime stresses. 5, add organic matter to the planting area. It improves air and water movement in clay soils and acts like a sponge to retain moisture and minerals in sandy soils. 6, water new plantings regularly until they become established. Spring and summer plantings are especially vulnerable to perishing from a lack of water during their growing in period. During the first few weeks, water often enough to keep the soil moist. Then start cutting back on watering to every few days or longer. Eventually water on a weekly or as needed basis by testing the soil and root ball for moisture until the plants become established. 7, go on vacation next summer and forget about it. Heed the advice of the world-famous American horticulturist Liberty Hyde Bailey, who said, I stayed home from a vacation one summer that I might keep my plants from dying. I have since learned that if the plants in my borders cannot take care of themselves for a few weeks, they are of little comfort to me. That's cute. And now we start July with planning. For annuals and vines and ground covers, if you're going on vacation, make plans to have someone take care of your plants. Not only does this keep up the appearance of the plants, it also makes it look as if someone is home. To make things easier for the caregiver, group plants in containers near a water source and out of the afternoon sun. There may be some pots that need more attention than others. Use colorful flags to mark those pots or tie a bright ribbon around a few of the plants to remind your caregiver that these pots or beds need to be inspected more often. Before you leave, water everything thoroughly, weed and deadhead any spent flowers. And for bulbs, your summer bulbs can be enjoyed outdoors or indoors as cut flowers. Create a cutting garden where you won't don't won't have to worry about color combinations and other design features. A cutting garden produces lots of flowers for tables, picnics, or sharing with friends. The following list of cut flowers have sturdy stems, interesting flowers with color that don't fade, and lots of fragrant blossoms. African corn lilies, calla lilies, crinum, fragrant gladiolus, pineapple plant, liatris, Asiatic lily, or an oriental lily, summer hyacinth, and tuber roses. For edibles, start planning your fall garden. Choose early maturing vegetables when you can. Sow beans, cucumbers, or even short season corn. They will be ripe to pick before freezing weather comes. Note the dates to remind you when to plant them. Allow adequate time to mature before the first expected freeze. And for lawns, apply the correct amount of water each time you irrigate. To do this, calibrate your irrigation system so you'll know how much water you apply per hour and exactly when to stop watering. Perennials and ornamental grasses. Record your observations of the performance of your plants, best pest problems, control measures, and what needs to be done as summer closes and gives way to fall. Write down the plants that need to be composted or given away. Finally, find some good books about perennials and learn more about the design of perennial borders. For roses, this is the perfect month to find a comfortable chair, a cool drink, and another good book besides this one. Kick back and enjoy the fruits of your labors. You might select a book about the lore of roses, the beautiful flowers, the exquisite fragrances, the nutritious rose hips, all set among vicious thorns in the stuff of poetry. Much has been written since roses were first cultivated during the Shen Nung Dynasty in China in 2737 to 2697 BC. Shrubs and trees. In some front yards, you'll see the same handful of shrubs used over and over. It reminds me of an 8-pack of Crayola crayons. Although there are so many wonderful colors available, the same 8 crayons are always used. Take some time this month to look at the big box of 64 crayons. Increase your shrub vocabulary to learn about the tremendous diversity that can be cultivated in your Carolina landscape. Take it from your children. Once you have used burnt sienna, salmon, or aquamarine, you won't want to go back to using the red, yellow, and blue in the box of 8. Don't forget Native American-made shrubs that deserve a place in the landscape. These plants were growing in North America when the Europeans first arrived and are still here, which is proof of their longevity and ability to adapt readily to our Carolina climate, soils, and pests. Besides, they make terrific plants for attracting songbirds, butterflies, beneficial insects, and other wildlife. Look for cultivars of native plants, that will fit perfectly into your landscape. Water gardens. Plan to improve your water garden next year. Did the top tropical water lilies look as good as the pictures in the catalog? Have some of the aquatic plants turned out to be thugs in disguise by taking more space than you allotted to them? Perhaps you heard some recommendations from friends and other water gardening enthusiasts regarding some aspect of pond care. Compile your notes and plan to act on them next season. And our next topic is planting. For annuals, indoors, seeds of hardy annuals that will bloom in the fall and winter can be started this month. They include alyssum, calendula, and ornamental cabbage and kale. biennials that can be planted for transplanting later include foxglove, money plant, and sweet William. Coastal gardeners can wait until next month to start these seeds. Outdoors, look for empty spaces in the landscape and fill them with warm season annuals. If you're planting among bulbs or perennials that have gone dormant, such as bleeding hearts, inspect the area carefully before planting to avoid damaging the perennial's crown. Cleome, cosmos, marigolds, sunflowers, and zinnias can still be planted or sown for bloom until frost. When the seedlings are about 2 inches tall, thin them where they're too crowded or transplant them to other parts of the garden. Some quick-growing and flowering annuals can be planted now with seed include cosmos, gomphrena, freya, Klondike, marigolds, Mexican sunflowers, dwarf sunflowers, and zinnia. For the price of a few seeds, they will make a spectacular late summer show in 5 to 6 weeks. For bulbs, plant reblooming irises. Those that have performed well in South Carolina Botanical Garden in the Piedmont area include Autumn Tryst, Clarence, Harvest of Memories, Raven's Return, and Violet Music. They require a little more attention to fertilizing and watering, but their 2 seasons of flowering in late spring and early fall are well worth the effort. Lift and divide overgrown clumps of bearded irises after they have bloomed in the mountains. Gardeners in the Piedmont and coastal plain can wait until the next month or early fall when the temperatures are cooler. Edibles. Sow another round of basil, cucumbers, squash, and southern peas. Consider varieties that offer disease resistance, earlier yields, or better flavor. Sow pumpkin seeds for Halloween. Mountain and Piedmont gardeners can start seeds of Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and cauliflower for the fall garden. Sow seed indoors or in a partly shaded area outdoors. Make a first planting for seeds for some fall crops, including broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, collards, and cauliflower. Also plant transplants of eggplant, pepper, and tomato for a fall crop. Attention to watering will be needed to get these up and growing. Wait until next month in the coastal plain. For lawns, sod can be installed during hot weather as long as you provide sufficient water to keep the soil moist. Before laying the sod, moisten the soil to prevent the roots from coming into contact with excessively hot and dry soil. Water immediately afterward to wet the soil below to a depth of 3 or 5 inches. And for roses may take a rest, as you should. When the daytime temperatures ease into the 90s, plants in full summer sun are especially affected. Unless you're willing to push them with adequate water and fertilizer, give them a break. Do not fertilize unless the plants are growing vigorously and showing hunger signs. Prune off faded flowers and cut back any weak canes to prepare the plant for a long blooming spell in the fall. Perennials and ornamental grasses. Any planting done now should be done with caution. Keep plants moist until they settle in. Mountain gardeners can divide daylilies after they finish blooming. The seeds of many perennials can be sown either in pots or directly in the garden. Although it may take seed-propagated perennials from 2 to 3 years to bloom, some will bloom in less than a year. Start the following perennials outdoors in a partially shaded location or indoors in trays or pots. Next year, you can sow a second crop indoors in early spring for flowering the same season. Butterfly weed, large flowered tick seed, Maltese cross, purple corn conflower, red valerian, Shasta daisies, spike speedwell, oxy daisies, violet sage, yarrow. For shrubs, in your summer vacation is the only time you can plant, then go ahead and install container-grown shrubs. Keep the root ball and surrounding soil moist until they become established. For trees, root semi-hardwood cuttings of crepe myrtle, redbud, and yaupon holly to pass along to a friend. To take semi-hardwood cuttings, notice when the current season shoots begin to harden and turn brown. When you snap the twig, the bark often clings to the stem. Vines and ground covers. Has the lawn beneath your tree disappeared? Extend the mulch area out to or beyond the drip line of your trees, or try planting ajuga, ivy, liriop, vinca, or other shade-tolerant ground covers beneath the trees. This chore can wait until fall. And for water gardens, if less than half your pond is covered with plants, consider adding more water lilies. This will help control algae. If you find choice marginal plants that will complement the planting you already have, go ahead and purchase them and plant them in your water garden. Divide your irises, Japanese iris, variegated rabbit ear iris, yellow flag, and Louisiana hybrid irises in late summer and repot them. And our next topic is care. Annuals. Continue to deadhead spent flowers and cut back leggy annuals such as salvias and zinnias. This encourages a bushiness and produces more flowers. Low-growing marigolds tend to get leggy and produce fewer blooms in midsummer, especially in the Piedmont and coastal plains. Shear them down to within 6 inches. Pinch the tips of coleus every few weeks to keep them dense and compact. Pinch off any flower stalks as they appear. Cleomes often grow vertically with few flowering stalks. Sniff off a few inches from the tip before it blooms. Two flowering stalks will replace one. If pinched one or two times, the plant will be covered with flowers. Hanging baskets or portulaca should be cut back every month to keep them full in the center of the basket. Snip away old blooms to keep the plants flowering until the first frost. Shear annual coreopsis to encourage another round of blooming in the fall. Save some flowers to produce seed for next year. On bulbs, support any leaning dahlias, glads, and lilies to prevent them from toppling over. As flowers fade from your summer bulbs, clip them off. This will prevent them from producing seeds, allowing the bulbs to replenish themselves for next season. Remove old flowers from tuberous begonias will control gray mold, tidy them up, and encourage continuous flowering. And for edibles, keep picking beans, cucumbers, okra, peppers, and squash so they will remain productive. If going away for a few days, invite neighbors to help themselves. You can tell cantaloupe is ripening when the green skin begins to lighten. Pick them when they slip easily from the stem and are fragrant. Dig Irish potatoes when half their tops have died down. Pick sweet corn just before cooking. It's ready when the silks turn brown and the pierced kernel releases a milky juice. Most varieties maintain peak sweetness for 1 or 2 days. Super sweet types stay sweet 4 or 5 days after picking. Cut back basil, mint, and oregano to keep them compact and to keep these herbs from going to seed. And for lawns, start mowing a sodded lawn when it's firmly rooted and securely in place. Raise the cutting height of your mower a notch or two to put less stress on the turf. Increasing the height also increases the depth of the root system. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, stake tall growing late season bloomers before they topple over. To ensure flowers this season, gardeners who've been shearing their mums should make their last cuts in early July in the mountains and no later than early August elsewhere. Continue to deadhead spent flowers to improve appearance and prolong the blooming period of certain perennials, such as bee balm, black-eyed Susan, daylily, monk's hood, purple cornflower, perennial salvia, spotted phlox, Stokes asters, and yarrow. Shear thread leaf coreopsis for a second bloom. And for shrubs and trees, remove diseased, dead, or broken branches at any time. For vines and ground covers, you've compost shredded bark or wood or pine straw to mulch around ground covers and vines. Ground covers that have become overgrown need to be pruned back into shape. Make thinning cuts down in the plants so the cuts will be hidden. Use sharp pruning shears to make clean cuts that will heal rapidly. Dead, broken, or diseased limbs and shoots should be removed any time during the growing season. And for water gardening, remove spent flowers to encourage the production of more blooms. You may want to allow some flowers to remain so you can harvest the fruits and sow the seed to produce some homegrown plants. Yellow leaves should be trimmed off and discarded. Remove any debris from the surface of the pond and add it to your compost pile. And our next topic is watering. For annuals, to learn how to water efficiently, it says refer to May. So just go back to the podcast for May if you want to learn about that. And bulbs, water regularly and adequately. Water early in the day to keep leaves dry. Spring flowering bulbs do not require water while they're dormant. For edibles, a vegetable garden thrives on an inch of water each week of summer. When rain is sparse, water deeply once a week with clay soils and every 3 days with sandy soils to encourage deep rooting. And for lawns, newly seeded or sodded lawns cannot tolerate drought conditions. Cool season lawns established last fall by seed need attention to watering as these lawns do not have adequate roots to survive extended drought. At this stage of development, drought can kill the young crowns of turf. Look for the signs of thirst and water accordingly, or water by the calendar. During droughty periods, apply 1 inch of water per week in clay soils and 1/2 inch in sandy soils every third day. If you choose not to water, repairing bare patches or renovation will be in order this fall. Do not discontinue watering cool season lawns in midsummer. Water dormant lawns every 3 weeks in the absence of rain. And perennials and ornamental grasses. During periods of low or no rainfall, water plants when they need it, especially new plantings or perennials that have been fertilized and not by the calendar. When you do water, do a thorough job so water penetrates the soil deeply. Wait until the soil becomes dry in the upper inch or so before watering again. Inspect the mulch in flower beds. In wind, rain, and natural decay have reduced its thickness to an inch or less. Apply more mulch to raise the level to 2 to 3 inches, but leave only about a half inch thick layer around the base of the plants. Perennials that have been cut back heavily should be kept moist to support the emerging growth. And roses. Water when necessary. Check the soil. A sandy soil that's dry to a depth of 2 to 4 inches indicates a need for water. In clay soil, simply not being able to dig easily down to 2 to 4 inches is enough to know that it's dry. Look at your roses. If the leaves are grayish green in color and slightly wilted, moisture could be lacking. Waiting until the roses are completely wilted before watering can affect their health and survival. And for shrubs and trees, water recently planted shrubs and trees, which are especially vulnerable to heat and drought. Water thoroughly to encourage deep rooting. Check the root ball and soil before watering instead of relying on the calendar. Avoid overwatering, which can suffocate the plant roots, causing the leaves to wilt. It can also expose the shrub tree to attack from root rot, a deadly fungal disease that prevails in waterlogged conditions and attacks susceptible plants. Establish drought-tolerant shrubs and trees may not require water. Other shrubs, however, may need to be watered during prolonged dry periods. These shrubs will benefit from an application of 1 inch of water per week. And for water gardening, check the water level of your pool to see if it has dropped. Tap water shouldn't be added directly to a water garden containing fish because the chlorine is toxic to them. If you add less than an inch of tap water to your pool, a dechlorinating agent won't be necessary. For larger amounts, a dechlorinating chemical will have to be added. Chloramine is another water treatment agent that's used to treat tap water. Unlike chlorine, it doesn't escape naturally from the water, and a special water conditioner needs to be added to remove it. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anadine Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And I hope you'll join us next time where we continue with July's information. Thank you.